Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Hans Kaiser of Tailgate Fantasy Sports joins us today to tell us about a new way to play fantasy football, one where you don't have to root against your favorite NFL team. Hans joins us here in the Pigpen to tell us all about this great concept and the fun you can have this season. Coming up in a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history, and welcome to another edition where we get to go into some fun aspects of the game of football. And this one is pretty relevant as we become on the NFL season and college football and everything else where everybody's getting excited. Well, we have another realm of fans that are getting excited, the fantasy football realm. And we have a gentleman here today from Tailgate Fantasy Sports. His name is Hans Kaiser. Hans, welcome to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren, thanks for having me on.
Hans, it's a pleasure. It's all ours, and this is quite an honor. And we're really excited to hear about what you have with your Tailgate Fantasy Sports. But before we do that, we always like to get to know our guests a little bit and let the listeners know a little bit more about you. And we always like to do it from the realm of football. And everybody that comes on here or has something to do with football is a fan of some sort. And we want to know sort of what's your story that got you into your fandom that gets you a point of starting a new fantasy football website and app to get people fired up.
Sure. So I'm a Jets fan, first and foremost. I like to tell people living out here in Albuquerque, I'm out in witness protection, really separated from the East Coast and everything. But the genesis of my fandom is actually video games. My very first exposure to football in general is actually Tecmo Bowl. So we had an old NES. I used to play on that all the time. I'd play as like Dan Marino's Dolphins, John Elway's Broncos and all that. So, and a bunch of baseball games too, that was just my first video game console in general and got me into sports as a whole. But my actual NFL fandom started with the N64. There was a game back in the day called NFL Quarterback Club. This was the 1998 version. Brett Favre was on the cover. My dad's actually a Giants fan, so he would always pick the Giants, and I kind of wanted to copy him without really copying him, I'd naturally just pick the Jets, and we'd square off head-to-head. At that time, the Jets had players like Keyshawn Johnson, Neil O'Donnell, Wayne Corbett, so that's what kind of got me into the Jets and how I started following the league.
That's a common story, it seems like, with New Yorkers. You have that rebellious youth that wants to, kick the habit of the old man as a Giants fan, and the Jets seem to be that ticket to get him there from all generations, from the AFL days that right on in today's.
Oh, yeah, and the color scheme is awesome. Really, my first exposure to the Jets and, like, the media, though, was listening to a Keyshawn Johnson interview where he was talking some trash about his teammate, Wayne Corbett. He was just something saying, like, oh, I'm the superstar of this team. Wayne Corbett is just this flashlight or something. So that was one of my guys. I was like, oh, no way. But he sure knows how to incite an audience, and, he's still on TV doing his thing. So
yeah, just throw me the damn ball, isn't that his motto?
Yeah, exactly. So that was a fun team. I mean, Vinny Testaverde, really weird kind of point in Jets history where I kind of hopped in, but, some good, some ups and downs. I loved Curtis Martin. So all those kind of additions of the Jets, Chad Pennington, all them, they had some decent runs. But, the high point of my fandom so far actually came with Mark Sanchez very briefly and Rex Ryan and all them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just mentioned three names. You know, I'm in Western Pennsylvania, so we're really intact. You know, Curtis Martin, one of the, you know, he's a Pennsylvanian, played at Pitt in Western Pennsylvania. You know, great back, and you know, we always enjoyed him. Neil O'Donnell was former Pittsburgh Steeler. And I was really sad to see when he left the Steelers, you know, after it was a horrendous Super Bowl appearance when they played the Dallas. He had the two interceptions to Larry Brown that made him the MVP. And you know, Steelers probably should have won that game. Those picks don't happen. At least that's what I want to believe as being a Steelers fan. But you know, I was sad to see him leave because he was interesting. That dude when he was on the Steelers, I think he had the highest amount of weight bench pressed on a team as a quarterback. I mean, he was strong ass man there.
Yeah, that's insane. Incredible. And Curtis Martin, too, he's extremely underrated back. He still is to this day. I'm like, when people talk about the greats, he never comes up. And I'm like, man, you guys weren't paying attention during his run. He was spectacular.
Right. And Shad Pennington, I can remember there, it was just when the draft was really starting to get popular. You know, being a football fan, you know, all my life, I've always been interested in a draft, but you know, that's when Mel Kiper started getting into it and everything. So as a Steelers fan, they were projecting the Steelers to take Pennington. So, you know, that was sort of the favorite pick that year. So I'm on the edge of my seat and okay, the Steelers are going to get this quarterback and this kid from, I believe it was Marshall is where he played. And so we're just waiting for his name to be drawn or taken. And then the Jets got him and the Steelers didn't. And I was like, I was disappointed. And I was really disappointed when I saw him play for the Jets because he was a pretty good quarterback for them.
He was great for a while. I'm great might be a little bit of an overstatement, but very serviceable. He lasted for quite a while. I think he was much better than people were anticipating. And even after he left the Jets and kind of joined the Dolphins, he was pretty good for a while too. Great analyst to this day. I forgot who said it in the media. It was one of his former coaches, but they said that he's one of the brightest football intellectuals that they've ever been around.
Yeah, he sort of got the injury bug. I think he got that one severe injury. I think it was a lower leg injury and just never was the same, never could sort of escape that. It kept haunting him, I think, the rest of his career, which happens to a lot of players. That's a rough sport.
Sure, yeah. Well, and then, of course, when you run into the Titan, the current dynasty of Tom Brady and the New England Patriots and that defense back in the day, too, he was like, all right, time to go to South Beach.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was what I was going to segue into next. You know, as a Jets fan, you know, everything looks very promising. You know, you got Rodgers, you got everything going for you, you know, great coaching staff, in place. Okay, but you've been under that shadow of the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and company for what, 2 decades? And I've talked to some Bills fans. You know, we're the Buffalo's only 100 miles away from where I live, and so there's a lot of Bills fans, and I know what their perspective is. Now, how is it for you folks, especially Bill Belichick was signed on to be the Jets coach, and like what, a week later or something, quit and said, "I'm going with the Patriots." You know, how has that sort of affected you as a Jets fan?
Sure, I used to really resent them and just hate everything about them. You know, I still definitely don't like the franchise. They're still a rival, but at some point, you just have to kind of respect the greatness, despite the cheating. I'll just kind of slip that in there. But, you know, I especially Tom Brady, man, I used to be a Peyton Manning guy way over him. I would just, you know, cape up for Peyton all the time, saying that he's the GOAT. Brady, he's so carried by his team, his coaches, defense. And, you know, it was really after that Atlanta Super Bowl where I didn't have a leg to stand on anymore. I'm just like, you know what? I guess while he's still in the league, I just have to respect it. And, you know, if they beat us, they beat us. And it is what it is. They're just the greatest. I don't know what else to say. It is disappointing, though.
Yeah, I shared a pretty similar path because I, you know, he was the kryptonite to the Steelers. Steelers had some pretty good teams, you know, last 20 years. And he was sort of that kryptonite. They met, I think, in the AFC Championship game 4 or 5 times, including some close ones like, you know, Jesse James, which everybody in the world knows it was a touchdown, and they called it back. And it seems like the Patriots always got these big breaks that, you know, cost the other team, and, you know, a call or went their way or something. But then you had that Brady, and just drove you crazy. Brady and Gronkowski and, you know, Wesley Welker and, you know, all those guys are just annoying to watch them because they were just such pains in the asses. But then I think I think when he moved on to Tampa Bay and what he did that first year in Tampa Bay and a couple of the playoff games were, you thought they were out of it, and all of a sudden, you know, they come back and win it. Just like the Super Bowl you were talking about, you got to sit back and say, man, we witnessed some greatness for, you know, a couple decades on a quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. And he was never, you know, the most physically gifted, anything like that. And neither was his personnel, especially on offense. Like, he had a couple of prototypical athletes, but the rest, they were just kind of some guys, you know what I mean? Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, they look like they could just be on the street somewhere, you know? And here he is, just throwing to him touchdown after touchdown, winning all these huge games over and over again. And you know, at first, actually, I was really rooting for the Patriots. This is before I was like really heavy into the Jets when they were first playing the Rams. I was happy that they beat the Rams. I was like, oh, look, good for this guy. He just comes in, you know, takes over the job after Bledsoe gets his leg broken by Mo Lewis, of all people, of the Jets. And so in a way, you know, you can blame the Jets for launching the Tom Brady run. So it's one of those things. Yeah, I was happy for him at first, that big beaming smile. And then win after win, it just kept getting old and old. And I don't know. I'm kind of afraid that I'm going to start feeling that way about the Chiefs, because I really do like the Chiefs and their style of play and Patrick Mahomes and everything. But after a certain point of just winning championship after championship, you just can't help but kind of root for their demise, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I'm sorry to bring up such sore subjects. I think the greatness of Tom Brady's upset both of us in our lifetimes for our respective teams. But you have an interesting product out that's going to bring happiness to football fans. And I'd like to have you sort of tell us a little bit about it and maybe tell us a little bit of some of the history of how you developed this. This is something kind of new and unique.
Totally. Yeah. So, we started this product called Tailgate Fantasy Sports. It's a new type of fantasy game. It's really built around fandom and allegiance. So as we've talked about, I'm a Jets fan. And one day I was just, this light kind of went on when I had Rob Gronkowski on my team. I noticed that after a while, I was kind of rooting for my fantasy team more and more, and not so much the Jets, because at the time they were, you know, dog water. They're at the bottom of the barrel, not very good. So I'd just be at the edge of my seat screaming, yeah, Gronk scored, this and that. And I'm just like, what am I doing? Like, why am I rooting for these Patriots? Like, I don't understand what happened to my fandom. And that kind of planted the seeds in the conception of this game. So I'll tell you the rules and then kind of go from there. The game is really easy, super straightforward, free to play. You just sign up using an email address, your first and last name, things like that. But you hop onto our site, you select your favorite NFL team. It could be any team. It doesn't necessarily have to be your favorite. But you set a three-man lineup using players from your pre-selected team or your favorite team. And you have to rotate two players per week. That helps with scoring parity. It also allows you to keep your favorite player kind of locked into your lineup. So you pick your favorite team, set that three-man lineup, you rotate two players per week. And this season, we actually just launched power-ups that you can apply to a single player in your lineup. So the power-ups themselves, they look like little Pokemon cards with like beer cans that have special abilities. So one of them is called like On Fire. It looks like a beer can that's just...
I'm liking it already. We got beer cans involved. All right.
Yeah. So it's totally a bro game, right? And On Fire would give you like 1.5 scoring for like a particular position. We have things like airmail, where you can give special abilities to your quarterback, robo leg, which is 3x points for your kicker. So you get these little power-ups, you can apply those to your players. And that's basically the game. We have, it's rotisserie style. So it's not head to head yet. We do have a global leaderboard that you can just kind of climb the ranks and see where you stand at the end of the year. And we have league mode as well. So if you want to participate in the global league, you definitely can. Or if you want to just kind of spread it out to your individual circle, you can do that as well.
Okay. So I guess I got a couple questions for you, philosophical questions. Now, we've mentioned the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, probably the most potent offense in the NFL, you know, arguably right now. I think probably not many people are going to argue against that. Pretty talented quarterback there, some talented core players on it, well coached. So how does somebody that's maybe a team that's not as good as the Chiefs, you know, compete in scoring to keep up with a high powered offense like that? If you know, Patrick Mahomes, and let's say, like my team, I have a second year quarterback that's unproven in Kenny Pickett. How would I be able to compete against somebody that's playing the Kansas City Chiefs?
That's a great question. And actually, I played as the Jets, obviously. So I took third last year. And for context, my the team that won was a Bills fan. My co-founder.
Jets, you had no quarterback last year.
Yeah, right. I'm so, trotting out Mike White and Zach Wilson. Yeah, so, right. Yeah. For starters, though, defense is built in. So there's like IDP positions. You could also play like an entire defense and special teams unit. The only group of players that are not built into the game are offensive linemen. And that's purely because there's no stats provided for them. I'd love to build them in. Maybe eventually we'll get there. But yeah, I mean, so we've had our top performers were like Bills, my co-founder, he picked the 49ers. He took second last year. My mom, who's never even played fantasy, she picked the Bills also. I think she took third and I took fourth as a Jets fan. But to answer your question a little bit more about kind of scoring and how things are weighed, we really dug in and made defenses like very good at scoring. So if you don't have the offensive firepower of like the Kansas City Chiefs with Mahomes, Kelce, and whoever they have as their X receiver, you know, you could play the Houston Texans and have a dominant player in like Christian Kirksey. The Jets had a whole crew of D linemen last year who were scoring 17, 20 points per game. So that's kind of how I managed to stay near the top of the leaderboard, was just playing defenses and, you know, just kind of staying relevant that way.
All right. So it's rotisserie style, like you said, and there's a overall leaderboard. So you really don't have leagues. You can't. So I saw there were some mentions like of playing the guys at the office or the guys and gals at the office or getting a group together. So can you still do that? Get if you had like a group of like 10 people that wanted to compete against each other?
Absolutely. So we do have leagues. And in the league, it's just still rotisserie style. So you just have a smaller leaderboard. We are working on head to head, though. So eventually you will have like head to head matchups and things like that. But, you know, if you start a league, it can be any size. So it could be 200 to 300 people. There's some really big workplaces out there. So we're really trying to position it that way. Once a team is selected, they're not off the board. So, you know, anyone can pick any team. And that's one of the good things about it. When I talked with Arnie over at Fantasy Football Origin Stories, he asked me the question, like, what if I had a whole group of Lions fans and we all started a league? And I was like, Arnie, that would be great, because then you would be able to determine who the actual greatest Lions fan is, you know what I mean, out of your entire crew. So there's no limitations about who can select what team, anything like that. Yeah, it's totally open. So I actually think it'd be a great use case for things like listener leagues and podcast leagues as like an engagement tool. This year, we're actually reaching out to sports bars across the country to try to partner with them and have like sports bar leagues just to see who their, you know, their regulars on game day, who performs the best, that type of a thing.
Interesting. Okay, so how did this whole concept come about? How, you know, what was the light bulb moment for you that said, hey, I need to do something like this?
Well, it was really, like I said, the seeds were planted with Rob Gronkowski when I was just sitting there cheering for him. And I was just like, it slapped myself one day. But I listened to a lot of podcasts, especially business podcasts. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So there's this idea that I've resonated with a lot. It's called, it's like being a vitamin or a painkiller. So a vitamin business would be like something that you take for 20 years to add 5 years of your life, right? Whereas like a painkiller, you imagine you have a splitting migraine. You would do anything to get Tylenol, right? Just to get rid of that headache. So I was trying to pair like a pain point in fantasy football, because I love it so much, with, you know, a business idea. And the only one I could really come up with, because there's so many different fantasy platforms out there, there's no real problems. It's awesome, right? Is waning fandom. Like my rooting interest was just kind of declining. I'm like, this sucks. I want to get back to being that guy when I was 13, where my whole room was decked out in Jets gear. You know, I would wear nothing but Jets jerseys in green and white all day. So that's kind of how it came to be. I really wanted just to get back to that fandom and that level of interest. And, I had a bachelor pad back in 2010, and we would always just invent bro games. So one of the bro games was, we had this game called fan ball, and we would turn our fan up at full speed in the kitchen and throw a ping pong ball up at the fan blades. We would try to audibly listen for how many times this ball bounced off of something hard, whether it was off the floor, cabinets, appliances, whatever. And every time we heard a bounce, you'd have to take a drink. So that's an example of like a bro game, right? Just something totally
Yeah, you're making my college years come back to me all of a sudden. That sounds like the kind of stuff that we would do. I love that stuff.
That's of course, great. Yeah. So, of course, we play like your traditional beer pongs, your stuff like that. But one of the other things that we really used to love doing together was drafting. So I don't know if you've ever heard of like Pokemon Stadium, but it's another old school N64 game where we would set up this big draft whiteboard in my living room and just have Pokemon drafts like literally all night. It was ridiculous. But another game that we would do that for is NFL Street. And NFL Street had two particular game modes. They had one called pickup game, where it was basically like fantasy football. You could assemble a team. It was 7-on-7, but you could just pick and choose from the entire NFL, including some legends like Kenny Stabler, Howie Long, people like that. Or there was this game mode in there called quick game, where you would pick the Jets, and out of the 12 or however many players they had in the game, you would still have to field a 7-person lineup. So you would just draft from the Jets only. And one day I was just out walking my dog, just kind of praying. I was like, hey, I love my job, what I'm doing right now, but I'd really love to launch my own business one day. And it literally came in an epiphany. It was like, hey, you've been doing this bro game for so long. Why don't you just do this for fantasy football? And that was it. I partnered up with my coworker at the time. He's since moved on from the company that I still work for. His name is Drew Nelson. Genius, great developer. Hit him with a business plan one day, just kind of surprised him with it. And we grabbed coffee a couple days later, and now we're match made in heaven, I like to say.
Very, very cool. I love the story. That's great. So what about the people that maybe you aren't dedicated to one team? Okay, you're from the New York area. Maybe you have those strange people that are, you know, they're half Giants, half Jets fans. And can they play from multiple teams, or is it strictly from one team?
Sure. So it is one team at the moment. So once you pick your team, you're locked in for the season. Eventually, we're kicking around an idea for that type of mode that you're talking about. We're, you know, maybe calling it fair weather fan or something like that, where you would pick a different team every week, kind of a thing. But right now, once you pick a team, you're locked in for the whole season. And then the following year, you can kind of, you know, change your alliance if you want to.
I love that. I mean, you can't have those bandwagoners, you know, going if somebody gets hot, you know, the next Kansas City Chiefs team rises up in the middle of the season. You can't have everybody jumping over to them. So I like that. That's a good law to keep on there. So maybe next season they can change, right?
Yeah. And we'll keep it open. Like, obviously we'll have that legacy game mode for anyone who wants to stay with that. And, you know, fair weather would be an additional game type. One other great part about the game is you can play during preseason or postseason. So we have leaderboards for all of them. So if you kind of want to dabble in over the next few weeks and get your ducks in a row before the season really starts, you know, you can jump in early, play for the preseason. And then once the regular season is over and most fantasy leagues are over, you can hop back in and play a little longer through the Super Bowl.
God, preseason, that's like fishing for guppies with shark bait there. I don't know.
I know one guy set a lineup for the Hall of Fame game the other day. It was the Jets versus Browns, and I was playing like Chris Streveler, who's already been released. It was, you know, yeah, you really have to know your stuff if you're going to put up any sort of points in preseason.
Yeah, wow. That blows my mind. Interesting. I love the way you're thinking outside the box. You guys are doing a great job. Why don't you give some folks some information where they can find your games and your program and how they can get involved?
Sure. So we have two sites that we kind of manage. TailgateFantasySports.com is like the marketing site. You know, we post content there. There's an explainer video, all the rules, all that stuff. The actual game is at tailgatefantasy.io at the moment. We are currently working on native apps for Android and iOS, so those should be out pretty soon. Right now, it is a web app only, but you just go to tailgatefantasy.io from anywhere with an internet connection. You sign up using an email address. It is two-factor authentication, so just be sure you don't use like a burner email or something. We don't have to confirm that email address. But once you sign up, you get right in. There's like a little wizard that helps you get everything set up and going for the first time. So it just walks you through the rules, setting your first lineup, and then shows you how to make any changes and save those if you need to, some help.
Okay. And it's real easy to get if you get involved. Like if I got involved and I wanted to bring some other coworkers in the next couple of weeks before the season starts, it's really easy to do that as well.
Oh yeah. And when you start a league, it just guides you through that as part of the process of just adding emails. We really geared it around ease of use. I mean, since it's such a simple game, you know, so we wanted to make it like a low barrier of entry to any type of fan. I know I mentioned earlier, my mom plays, my sister plays, like they've never done fantasy sports before, but they can hang with us and she loves it. She plays every week. She sets more lineups than my dad, actually. So,
yeah. Well, I love the concept because, you know, I'm not going to put your mother and other people, you know, but I'm going to consider myself. I'm a simpleton. It's hard for me to keep track of, you know, umpteen different things going on, especially on different teams. So you put it just my team, just three players or you know, that I have to really pay attention to. And I can do that. I can handle that and be excited about that. It's hard to be excited for, you know, the whole NFL at the same time, you know, whatever, if you have 12 different, you know, features playing in a game and you're trying to watch scoreboards and everything. It's a mess. And like you said, I had one last year. I think I was playing against the Steelers defense in a playoff game and Minka Fitzpatrick had an interception. So I'm cheering as I'm watching the game. I'm like, wait a second, that's just screwed me for this. You know, that just took points away from me. So I feel your Gronkowski scenario that you had.
And everyone has it. I mean, if you're a fantasy player, it happens to you at some point where you find yourself rooting for a rival and you're like, oh, geez, what am I doing here? But, you know, a lot of times you pay to play fantasy. So, you know, you got to root for your financial interests too, right?
Right. Yeah, most definitely. Now, is there ways playing the games, you know, I know a lot of the games are associated with prizes that you can win with the leaderboards or anything. Is there anything like that going on, or is this strictly all fun and, you know, just side bets with your buddies if you want?
Sure. So right now it is free to play, just all side bets. You know, that could be a model that we pivot to in the future. I don't want to say it'll be free forever kind of a thing. I'm sure there will be a version of it that is free, but more around like the sports bar leagues, the sponsored leagues. If it does become a paid to play kind of a thing, it would be more in that type of an avenue where you have like a sponsored week or a totally sponsored league. But we do give prizes to usually our top three finishers. So the guy who actually took first, he lives up in Canada somewhere, I think in like, I don't even know which province. Sorry, Josh. I know I wrote your address there and he'll probably listen to this, but yeah, we sent him like a really nice stitched starter hoodie, some hats and stuff. So we don't give cash prizes, but cool swag.
To us Americans, Canada is just one big province. We don't understand the difference between, you know, the, you know, Ontario and, you know, Nova Scotia. It's all one big place to us.
Yeah, that's where it was. It was actually Nova Scotia. I was like, I know it's okay. Like some island or something like that, but I don't know. Yeah, I know Ontario, Alberta, and then the rest is kind of a guesswork for me. But yeah, he picked the Bills. He took first and great player. He's always interacting with us on Twitter too. He's a great guy.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you something a little bit about, so let's say somebody new coming in and let's say we have a team like the Texans that you mentioned earlier, you know, so not a lot of big expectations unless you're a Texans fan. The rest of the league, we're not expecting much of the Texans. But if you're a Texans fan and you're playing the game, what's a common strategy? Is it like a quarterback, running back, and a defender? Or you know, what's the most common groupings of players that people like to start off with?
Sure. So with bad teams, you have to imagine game flow, right? They're usually trailing 10 or more points, at least three, right? Because they're going to be losing the game at some point. So QBs are never a bad one. They just kind of score the most in general, no matter how good or bad they are, but especially in catch-up mode. So if they're always trailing behind, like someone like Bryce Young is going to be throwing the ball presumably a lot. Defenses are always going to be on the field. So, you know, load up on linebackers. Tackles are worth a premium in our game. So, you know, just find the number one tackler on the defense or play the whole defensive unit if you want to, assuming that they don't give up 40 points a game. And then I would say one big strategy, since we just dropped the power-ups this year, be sure to see which power-up you have for the week, because it's one out of 10 random ones. Some power-ups are better than others. The Roboleg one that I mentioned earlier gives 3x points to your kicker. So, you know, if a kicker is good for 10 points with that power-up, you'd score 30. That's going to outscore most quarterbacks every week.
You just made me think of something else. Let's say the power-ups. Let's say I didn't pick a kicker this week. I have the Texans. I didn't take their kicker. Now, could I randomly get that power-up be the kicker one that you just said, the Roboleg, and so I couldn't use it?
Right. So it does reset every week. We are building into the game where you can like hold your power-ups from 1 week to the next. But right now, this is version one where you just get one per week. And if you don't use it, you lose it kind of a thing. So use it when you have it. Eventually, we'll have that deck where you can kind of store them and use them at certain points through the season. But then just keep in mind that you do have to rotate two per week. So as much as you love your lineups, that's part of the scoring parity is forcing that rotation. So you just kind of have to keep that in mind if you're going to have – we have another power-up called like Ball Hawk for safeties and DBs. So if you play a safety and DB 1 week with that Ball Hawk power-up, it'd probably be a good idea to just have them out of your lineup, assuming that you're not going to get that power-up again for a few weeks.
Now, is the quarterback, is that sort of the position that that's the keeper that people continue to play week after week, or is it change?
I would say most of the time, yes. With the exception of teams like San Francisco, where you have like a Christian McCaffrey or a really dominant running back or receiver, and I would say most people just kind of pick their favorite player. It doesn't have to be one single position, but if you have an affinity toward like a Travis Kelce, you know, lock him in there. Why not?
Yeah. He definitely scores a lot of points every week, I'm sure.
Totally.
So yeah, very interesting, Hans. Well, why don't we give that information out one more time so folks know where to find your Tailgate Fantasy Sports and
Sure. So the marketing site, tailgatefantasysports.com, there you'll have the explainer video, the rules. We do content every now and then. We're not a huge content company. So, you know, if you're a writer, you want to partner with us, by all means, hit us up on Twitter. I'd love to chat with you. The game itself is at tailgatefantasy.io. And we love interacting with any of our players, fans, anyone who has any questions. The best place to do that is going to be at Twitter. And our handle is at TailgateFS. That's at Tailgate Foxtrot Sierra. So we follow back. So, yeah, give us a follow. We'll follow back and we'll chat on game days.
Most definitely. Well, Hans Kaiser, you have a very interesting concept, a spin on but fantasy football, I guess we can call an old game now, has been around a while and everybody's familiar with, and you get to play with the players you're most familiar with. I love the concept. I'm going to try it out myself. Listeners, let's follow that up and follow them on Twitter and play this game, and maybe we'll get a league started here as well. So Hans, thank you for joining us today and telling us all about it.
Oh yeah, my pleasure, Darren. Thank you so much for having us on. Everyone at Sports History Network has been great to talk to and just kind of chat with about NFL and all this stuff. So the pleasure is all mine. Thank you for having us on.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. PigskinDispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.